I want you to come here, and I don't use your wheelchair. Walk here. Amen. Get ready to praise God. Amen. Somebody praise God. Raymond, I know you don't want to stand for too long, but I would love for you. Are you okay? All right, then come stand here next to me. You can hold on to my arm. And then, Dolly, I'm going to get to you now. I want to introduce you to Raymond. Raymond heard of us because his cousin, his nephew. Actually, Ed, I'm a bit loud. That's going to. You know what? Just turn that speaker away from me. Then we should be better. Push it back up. The volume. Testing 1, 2. Yeah, it's better. Okay. Tell them how you got to hear about us, what your nephew had to say, why you came here, and then I'll take it from there.
There we go. I'm not a talker.
You'll do well.
Okay. My niece came here, and she got baptized. And Rian asked her, what's troubling her? And she said, my uncle. That's my nephew, Roderick. And he had bowel cancer. He had bowel cancer. And he came here, and I phoned him, and he told me what happened. And I rode up straight away to the hall. I got George's phone number, and I phoned him immediately and said, I must come. And George has been in contact with me, Tony, and I want to thank you all. I came the first time. Nothing.
Can you speak? I'll hold.
I came the first time. And it wasn't like the second time. I already had an encounter with God. Amen. And I walk. I walked the first time. The last Sunday, I was out of breath coming up the stairs. This week, I made it easy. Amen. And I just want to say one thing. I watch 347, and they talk about an encounter with God through the supernatural. I asked God to touch me. And I was in the shower, and this amazing thing happened to me. It was as though God is in my presence. And I just want to say, I wish it would happen to everybody. Can you imagine what heaven's like? And they said, once you touched, you want to be touched all the time, every day. And that's what I want.
Amen. Thank you, Raymond. God bless you. He's fine. Well, bless God. Dolly, please come forward. I want to introduce you to Dolly. Dolly, I would like you to tell the people how you heard of us, why you came here. Okay, tell them about your son.
Hi, everybody. My name is Dolly. I heard about you guys through a friend. His name is Jason. And we used to text messages to one another. I work in a bottle store in Pick and Pay, and he's one of my customers there. So when I explained to him about Bran, my son, his hands, well, the doctors were saying that he's got eczema and stuff like that, and then in a couple months, it was going down to his legs and his entire body. So I spoke to Jason and I told him, I said, listen, this has gone worse. And we go to Christian Family Church. I don't get off often, off at work, you know. So we go like maybe every once a month, twice a month. So he told me, listen, go there and just try, speak to the lady, Fatima, and, you know, you can go to her, and then she will introduce you to the pastor, and you can go there for prayer. So I said, okay, fine. So I brought them last week Sunday when we came out of work. I came straight here and we prayed and we got home. Monday when I got home from work and asked him, Brian, can I have a look at your hands? And he said, Mom, you won't believe. Look, it is dried to the bone. And it was big, big blisters, you know? Blisters that you, like, it was shocking.
And how long did he have this?
He had this, like, for 2 months, 3 months, and I went to, like, every specialist that I heard of, you know, and I took him, and I said, listen, and I said, Lord, please, I'm going through something at the moment right now, and this is the only thing that I have, you know? But I know that God is amazing, and he's brought us through, like, so many times, through everything. Amen. So thank you.
Thank you. Wow. You know, God is good. And you know, a lot of people have this impression that today God doesn't do miracles anymore. Raymond, what would you tell them? He does. You want to say something? All right.
Last Sunday, I came to church. When I was getting dressed, I'm a diabetic. My one toe was open. It was septic. The caregiver says she doesn't know what she's going to do. I came here, and you prayed for me. My feet. I got home. Next morning, it was gone. There is still no swelling, no pus, no nothing. Amen. And he's working on me all the time.
Amen.
He is working. And I want to say something about Roderick.
Yeah.
I spoke to Roderick. I said, you've got to come up. You've got to come up again and experience what I'm experiencing. He said, I can't afford it, Uncle Raymond. I said, I'll pay for it. And Saturday, he's got tubes all in his body. The tubes came out. Satan. He ended up in hospital, and he phoned me. He says, well, this is what happened to me today. And we spoke about it. I said, yes, well, Satan doesn't want you to come up, does he? So he said, I'm leaving tomorrow morning, Uncle Raymond. And then yesterday he phoned me halfway here, and their hose broke. So he's gone back to Soldana. He's meant to be here, but next Sunday he's here. If I got to fly him up, I'll fly him up.
Well, bless God. Is there anybody else that wants to testify about something that God has done for them? Maybe last week? Anybody else? You want to come? Yes, please come.
I greet one and all in the lovely name of Jesus. And it is... I'm not used to mic. Can I do without it?
No, I want you to speak in it. I'll hold it for you.
Okay. Sister Lindy and I, we go to the same church in Kedult. And for some time, she's been asking me to join her. And I always had something to do. And I knew that it was not the perfect will of God for that. But one day, she said, Dixon, I want you to come. I said, right, come and pick me up. I didn't have any transport. I'm staying in Durban. I come by bus, and I go back by bus. So I left my car in Durban. So then she picked me up, and we came to church. Didn't it 3 months back? Was it 3 months back? Somewhere around there, eh? I came and you prayed for my knee. And that day, God did a work in my life. And from since then, I don't limp and walk. I'm not tired of standing on my feet. And I do everything like a normal person. And I want to give God the glory for it.
Amen.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. How do I start this now? Okay. I've been diagnosed with cancer about 2 years now. Well, I was diagnosed.
Yes.
And my count never really went down. It went up, down, up, down, up, down. My last count now is 227, and it's climbing nicely down. Amen. Since the time Uncle Rian prayed for me.
Amen. Amen.
Bless God. You know what? It's such a blessing that we have the privilege and the honor to experience what God is doing.
Amen.
You know, I asked Raymond, what would he say to people that say that God doesn't do miracles? He says God is real. I say you must be crazy, because God does do miracles. You know what? You've heard me say this many times, and I'm going to say it again. Jesus himself said, one day when I return, will I still find faith on the earth? If you wonder why today we see so few miracles, we see so few power encounters with God, is because people have no more faith. People today still have faith to be saved, but they don't have faith in God and in the supernatural power of God. And I want to say something to you, and if you want to get offended, that's just your problem. God doesn't want you to live a substandard life. God wants you to live a blessed life, and it is for you to find the faith to trust him for that. I can't do it for you. Your mother can't do it for you. Your brother, your sister can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. But I want to say this to you. If you are here tonight and you have a need, Raymond, when he came out the first time, could not walk. You saw him walk now. In fact, last week, the end of the meeting, you actually started almost running after the power of God was upon you. And he was telling me that they used to have to push him into the shower in his wheelchair. Now he gets up and he showers himself and he gets out. And you know what? God is amazing. And if God can do it for him, please explain to me, why can't he do it for you? That young man sitting at the back there, last week he said to me, Pastor, I've got these things on my feet. It is so painful that sometimes I cannot walk. Young man, how is your walking now? Your walking is brilliant. Amen. And you know what I love about his mother's testimony, and I'm sure he can confirm that, God dried all of those things up in one day. There's no medicine that you could have given him on this world that could have had that effect on his body. But God did it. Can I tell you why? Because God is not bound to the laws of science or biology or anything, because God works in the realm of the supernatural. Can I tell you what God does to heal somebody? One of two things. He points his finger or he speaks a word. God just, you know what? The other day I shared that scripture with you where in the book of Psalms, it says that God sent forth his word and healed them. Can somebody tell me, how did God create the heavens and the earth? God spoke a word. And I want to tell you something. The people that tell you that there's no more signs, there's no more wonders, there's no more miracles, they are telling you that God doesn't speak anymore. But he does. God speaks plenty. And God sometimes speaks one word about your situation, one word about your sickness, one word about your infirmity, your pain, your suffering, that curse that's holding you back. God only has to say one word, and it's going to be sorted out. Tonight, I actually, because we had some powerful testimonies, I want to share with you a scripture that I'm sure you all know, but it's a good thing for us to read this again. I'm going to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we are going to read from verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Let's stop right there. And there was a war in heaven. All right, here's something that probably you don't want to hear, but you have to hear it in any case because it's a reality. There was a war in heaven. If the angels were not safe from Satan and the war, then what makes you think that you are safe? And what I'm trying to say by that is there's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, a lot of people that tell us that, you know what, all this is finished, all this is over, this is not the way it is, the devil can't do this, the devil can't do that, God won't allow this, God won't allow that. It happened in the heavens, why can't it happen down here? It happened in God's presence, why can't it happen down here? You must understand something, the war between good and evil is real. The people that tell you that there's no more war, you know what? I'm sorry, but they are liars. And you know what? The Bible says all liars are friars. So they better repent. There is a very real war going on right now down here on earth, as there was a war going on up there. You know why? Because that's how Satan is. Satan is not called the destroyer for nothing. He wants to destroy. John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil doesn't like you. The devil doesn't like you. And don't feel bad because the devil doesn't like him either. Satan can't stand you and I. He hates people. Can I tell you why? It's easy to answer. In whose image were you created? He hates God. And every time he sees you, every time he looks at you, he's reminded of God. We are specifically created in the image of Christ because Jesus is the image of God. So every time you wake up and you start moving around, every demon in your vicinity gets upset because they see Jesus when they look at you. And I'm not talking spiritually, I'm just talking physically. The way God made us, we were created in his image. Jesus being the image, the devil can't stand you because of who you remind him of. And therefore, from his point of view, he wants to do everything that he can to destroy your life. He wants to do everything that he can to bring you down. He doesn't want you to be prosperous. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to go forward. He wants you to be stressed, depressed, negative, sick, pains, suffering, etc., etc., etc. Right. Revelation chapter 12, starting from verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. All right. That gives you an idea of how the war is. Even though we have authority, even though we have power, even though we have anointing, even though God is with us, even though the Spirit of God goes ahead of us, that does not stop the enemy from fighting against us. We know that the archangel Michael is generally seen as being the chief in charge of all the angels and the God of war. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's like he's the angel in charge of the warring section in the heavens. Does that make sense to you? Now, here's the thing. Satan did not back off just because Michael came on the scene. He fought back. Do you see that? You know, a lot of us is like, oh, I'm a Christian. The devil can't come near me. The devil came near Michael, who is created for war. He is placed in charge of the heavenly hosts, the armies of God. And Satan would not back down from him. So why would he back down from you and leave you alone? You see, all the theology that they are teaching out there, that the devil can't this and the devil won't that and God this, and it's nonsense when you look at these scriptures. Satan has no problem going into a fight. He likes to fight. The fact of the matter is, when we fight, we have the power to conquer. But there's too many people that never fight. There's too many people that just sort of like accept their fate. Oh, well, you know what? You know, Raymond could have just said, you know what? This is just the way it is. I'm stuck in this wheelchair. I'm never going to get out. I've got my diabetes. I've got my problems with my lungs. I've got my problems with my circulation. It's never going to get sorted out. Where would that have got you, Raymond? But you chose to stand up and he chose to fight. And it's when we choose to stand up and we choose to fight that we get somewhere, because you must understand something. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. But, you know, so many people like to quote that scripture. But when they quote that scripture, it has no power, it has no authority. Can I tell you why? Because they don't fight. You can't be more than a conqueror if you don't start fighting. If you want to accept all your problems, if you want to accept all your issues, then by all means do it. It's your life. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Nobody can do nothing for you. But if you want to start living what the Bible calls a victorious life, then you first have to start having victory. And that starts by saying, yes, it's time for me to fight. A lot of people don't think that that's fair. They got this attitude like, oh, but why does God expect me to fight? Why doesn't God do all of this stuff? Well, if he expected his angels to fight, he probably expects you to fight too. Then that's just the way God created the world. But you know what? It's not such a disaster, because when we truly fight and when we're willing to put our faith in God to give us the victory, we get the victory. I want to tell you something. The most powerful demon in the satanic realm is no match for a 40-pound weakling down here, if the 40-pound weakling has something called faith, anointing, and authority. Any man, any woman, any child, a 4-year-old can deal with the biggest demon. In fact, 4-year-olds find it easier to deal with demons than 30-year-olds. Because 4-year-olds tend to have a lot of faith. 30-year-olds are full of doubt and confusion and unbelief. Or am I lying? You know, when you're 4 years old, it's easy for you to believe. It's like your father says, this is the way it is. It's like, oh, that's the way it is. We should read the Bible like 4-year-olds. Why do you think Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God? Do you believe? Then it's time for you to start believing like a 4-year-old. We need to get to the place where we say, my father said it, that settles it, finished and klar. And when somebody wants to come and entertain you with doubt, like, oh, but you know what, maybe it's not like that, you say, ooh, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. Just pack your bags and go. This is what my father said, and I'm not interested in your lies. You want to fall apart because you got no faith? It's your problem. You want to fall apart because you doubt everything? It's your problem. Me, I choose to believe. And you know, when God sees that attitude in us, God has to bless us because that is called faith. Let's get back to the scripture now. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So don't expect the devil to be a pushover, because clearly he's no pushover. Don't expect to say, I rebuke you once and everything is going to just fall into place, because that might not be the way that it is. Let's talk about a war. Can a war be over in a second? No. You can finish a battle in a couple of minutes. But a war implies a series of battles, ongoing. And that's the life that we are called to live. When are you going to stop fighting one day? When you die. Because then there's nothing left to fight. But in the meantime, but let me explain to you how this works. There are a couple of things that we need to fight a good fight. The enemy is supernatural. So can you punch him with your fist? You might try that and hit your wife, and then you're in trouble. Did you try that? I was going to say, I'm going to lay hands on you. You can try and clap a demon, but you're not going to get anywhere. In order to fight them, you need something supernatural. You need something with substance. Now, there's two things that's needed. One is anointing, and two is authority. And none of these things come easy, and none of these things come cheap. Let's talk about anointing. Where does anointing come from? The anointing can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot have any anointing except through the Spirit of God, but anointing isn't just given. Anointing must be earned. And let me explain something to you about anointing. If you attend a church where there is no anointing, don't expect anointing to come to you, because anointing can only come from the top. Amen. You think I'm joking? Let me read you this. Psalm 133, let's go there quickly. We're going to come back to Revelation. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Mount Hermon was falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessings, yes, even life evermore. Okay, let me explain to you what he says there. It's very simple. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. He starts off by saying unity is going to release the goodness of God into your life. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. So God wants unity. He wants unity in families. He wants unity in the church. There we already got a big problem, because there's no unity in the church, which is why the church is impotent and has no power. So God wants unity. But then he goes on and he says, it is like the precious oil poured on the head. All right. Now he's explaining something. When it comes to the anointing is associated with the oil. All right. the anointing is associated with the oil. Now, when they used to anoint somebody as a priest or a king or a prophet, they used to take the oil and they used to pour it on their head. But there's a spiritual symbolism here that will never change because that's the way it is. When they start pouring the oil, where does it touch first? It touches the head first. And from the head, it goes down to the beard. From the beard, it goes to the shoulders. From the shoulders, it goes to the chest. From the chest, it goes to the feet. Here's how it works. The head is the head. That's the church that you attend, the body that you are involved with, and the pastor that you submit to. Let me ask you a question. If the person that you are under has absolutely no anointing, can anointing come to you? No. It's impossible. Because you can never have more anointing than the person that you are under. Do you understand? If you want God to use you, if you want to be anointed, if you want to make a difference, you better be certain that the person that you submit under actually has the anointing to pull you up. Because if they have nothing, they can't give you nothing. God will never, ever circumvent His word. God will not change His word for you or for me or for anybody. So, yeah, I want to put this out there. If you want to go out there and make a difference, if you want to move in the power of the supernatural, you better make sure that you are under somebody that moves in the power of the supernatural. If you want anointing, if you want authority, you better be under somebody that has anointing and has authority because you can't have more than what they have. God will not allow it. Because the moment you have more than them, then you will begin to challenge them, and God has no time for such rubbish. God has no time for that. He'll always make sure. Moses always had more than Aaron. Moses had more than Miriam. Moses had more than all the people that wanted to challenge him, and God stood up for Moses because that's the way the kingdom of God works. So look at this. The anointing starts at the top. It touches the head first. Once it's moved over the head, it touches the beard. What would you say the beard represents? The beard represents the wise men. That doesn't just have to be men. It could be women as well. But the beard represents maturity and spiritual authority. In other words, it's the wise men. Then it moves to the shoulders. What would you say the shoulders represent? The shoulders are like the young men. And the chest is the young woman. And then eventually, what is the feet? It's the children. That is how anointing is distributed. The head gets it first. The wise men that has to use their wisdom to bless the people and to honor God gets it then. Then the young man gets it. The woman gets it. And eventually, it filters down to the children. The same oil that touches here can eventually touch down there. But there will always be more oil up here than that there will be down there. Because this is the source. From here, the oil is released to go and touch everywhere else. Now, I say to you, if you want to start having victory when it comes to this war, here's a couple of the things that you need. You need anointing because demons, they're not frightened by how hard you scream. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, there's a demon. Let's just see if we can raise the roof. Like, oh, I rebuke you. The demon's not too stressed. Because for some people, that's just flapping lip. There's no power behind the words. Do you know why when God sends forth His word, people are healed? Because upon Christ is the Spirit of God without measure. Jesus' anointing could not be measured. Jesus is like, how can I put it? It's like you and me, we 1.5 volt batteries. Jesus is like, I don't want to compare Him to Eskom because right now that'll be a slap in His face, you know, but He's like a power station. This is like lots of Uma coming out. There's no lack. There's no limit. Okay, so we need anointing. Why? Because the stuff we're dealing with is supernatural. And what does anointing do? Anointing releases the power of God in you. Everybody has gifts. Look at your neighbor and say, I have good news for you. You have gifts. Now, probably that's the first time some of you have heard that, but I want to say something to you. The Bible says that you have gifts. Oh, Rion, where did you get that? It's in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 10. As each man has received the gift, minister therefore one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Did you hear that? As each one has received the gift. That means that you have gifts. And you have gifts. And this little boy here, do me a favor, just get up and show them. He's very cute today. He's not very big, but inside of him is already something amazing. He's like, what is this man doing now? There we go. Amen. As young as he is, there's already gifts in him. And can I tell you something else? As young as he is, the devil's already like, ooh, you know, we must be careful. Can I tell you why? Because Satan knows something that we sometimes don't. God has put his power, his anointing, his authority, everything that we need already within us. That doesn't mean that it's working. It doesn't mean that it's been released. It doesn't mean that it's activated, but it's there. In whose image is he created? Did Jesus battle with demons? Did Jesus battle to heal the sick? Why should he? He's created in the same image. But Jesus had something which we don't. It's called anointing. Anointing doesn't come cheap. You know, a lot of people, they're like, oh, they want to come to some anointed person to pray for them and the anointing must come and everything must work. Let me tell you something. If you believe that, you believe a bunch of nonsense. Because anointing is one of the most precious things God has, and he's not just going to give it to you. Have you ever heard of easy come, easy go? That's how a lot of people treat even the gifts of God, even the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you work for it and you prove yourself faithful, then you will appreciate it and you will bless God. If he just gives it to you, you'll pull it through something, you know, and it's not going to bless God. So we need anointing because inside of me is a gift. But the gift inside of me cannot operate because I have willpower. And sitting and meditating and calling, you know, that's not going to do nothing. Hello? It's going to call chochos into your life, but it's not going to do nothing for you. The gifts of God cannot be released by men. It is released by God as the anointing comes on you. An easy way to remember that, you know what? All of you have cars. You drive what? You drive a white bucky. He drives a white bucky. There we go. There we go. He drives a white bucky. Now, I'm sure that your white bucky can do a lot of things. I'm sure it can take you from point A to point B. There we go. And it can do it quick. There we go. But what happens if he doesn't put petrol in the tank? Okay, so that bucky, in order to get it to produce, it needs this secret ingredient. It's not that secret, but it needs something. Okay. It needs petrol. Without petrol, the bucky is still a bucky, but it's only got potential. It can't utilize its potential. You are exactly the same. We have potential inside of us. Some of you have the gifts of healings. Some of you have the gift of miracles. Some of you have the gift of wisdom, the gift of discernment. There's a lot of things that you can have, but without anointing, you are like a car without petrol. You can try and turn the key, it's going to go chi 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 chi, but it's not going to start. We're exactly the same. Okay, so we need anointing. Anointing comes from the top, and if it can't come from the top, it's just not going to come. And anointing takes time. You get a little bit, a little bit, a little bit as you prove yourself faithful to God. But I want to say something to you. If you attend meetings where there is power and anointing, that's where you start receiving it. Let me explain something to you about the disciples. When were the disciples spirit-filled? Somebody help me out here. When were the disciples spirit-filled? Okay, let me help you out. The disciples were only filled with the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascended to heaven. Something like 40 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit was only poured out upon them. Now, if the power of God through the Holy Spirit was only poured out 40 days after Jesus died, how did they manage to cast out demons before? Because they received the anointing from Jesus. Do you understand that? Because they spent time with Jesus, they started coming under the anointing. Even though the Holy Spirit wasn't even dwelling in them yet, the anointing had rubbed off to the place that they could heal the sick and that they could cast out demons. Why? Simply because of the ministry that they were working under, which was the ministry of Christ. So anointing comes on you based on the people you associate with and the body that covers your life. If you are in a place where there's a lot of anointing, the more time you spend there, the more anointing comes into your life. Why is that a good thing? Because without anointing, what God put in you can't come out of you. So I want to say something to you. If you are in a dead church, you better make a plan and move on. Because you will never know who you can be in Christ until the anointing starts coming into you to release what God has placed inside of you. You know, there's a lot of people that have very, very powerful gifts that die every year. And they never utilize their gifts. Can I tell you why? Because they never received anointing to allow the supernatural power of God to start coming out of them. Then the second thing that we need is we need authority. Once again, authority doesn't just come. We spoke about, okay, let me read the scripture to you again. We're going to go back to the book of Revelation. Let me read you something here. Revelation, come on, work with me here. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Okay, in a war happens between two opposing what? Armies. Okay, the armies of God were fighting against the armies of Satan, and there was a war going on. Now let's talk about army. How do you determine what authority somebody has in the army? By their rank. And how do you know what their rank is? You normally look at what's either on their shoulders or what's on their arms. If they're a lieutenant or a sergeant or a colonel, or I don't even know, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Now, let's just argue this way. Let's say Tony enters the army knowing absolutely nothing, having no knowledge of how things work. And somebody just, you got an interesting face. I'm going to make you a lieutenant. And he has to go out there and he has to go and order around all these, you know, wat het hulle daai ons genoem, die, yeah, no man, die harde baard manne, or what, there was a word. What did you guys call them? The ou manne, yeah. He has to go and tell all the ou manne what to do. How do you think that's going to go down for him? Oh, can I tell you why? Because he has no authority. In the army, you take time to get to a place of authority. And they're not going to give it to somebody that's just entered. Because they know that they know they can, it's going to be a recipe for disaster. So you have to earn your authority. In the kingdom of God, it is no different. You have to earn your authority. You know, a lot of people, it's like, you know what, I want to fight the big demons. Oh, if the big demon fights you, you're going to go, and it's going to be nothing left of you. Because you don't have the authority to fight that thing. Can I tell you how you get to fight big demons? By conquering a lot of little demons. Because every time you conquer a little demon, you get a bit more authority. Then you conquer another little demon, then you get a bit more authority. Then you conquer another one, and you know what? Before you know it, you're there where you wanted to be. But God won't just put you there. Because authority doesn't just come by your title. There's a lot of pastors in this world, they can't cast out the smallest little demon in the kingdom of darkness. They have no authority. Then there's some people out there, they got no spiritual recognition for who they are or what they do, but they deal with the big guns. Can I tell you why? Because they have grown in authority by their obedience to God and their perseverance. Let's talk about perseverance quickly. Do you think that you're going to get anywhere in the kingdom of God lest you can persevere? You know, this world is full of people that want quick fixes. We live in a society where you want something, you snap your fingers, you put some money down, and you got what you want. And if you don't do that, you go and you steal what you want. You can get it quick anyway. I hope none of you do that. If you do, come see me for prayer. We'll sort that out quick. But the fact of the matter is, you know what, down here, we've become very impatient. Because we live in a society where things can happen very quickly, we want everything to happen quickly. God is not going to be moved by your temper tantrums. God is not going to be moved by your impatience. God will be moved by your perseverance. And there's a big difference there. Some of you, to get to where you want to be, is going to have to accept the fact that in an army you start in the trenches. You first fight in the trenches, and then you prove yourself. You become a corporal, and then you become a lance corporal, and then you become a corporal, and then you become a sergeant. And you know what? It might take you 3, 4, 5 years to get to where you want to be. And can I tell you what tends to happen even in the church? If it hasn't happened within 6 months, then it's like, oh, you know what, this is wasting my time. Oh, you know what, God's got favorites. I never signed up for all these problems and this and that and that. Can I tell you what? You're wasting everybody's time. And God won't give you nothing with that type of an attitude. Because what God wants to see from you is perseverance. If you can't do that, you can't have authority. Authority takes time. You know, I want to give you an example from my life. When I started praying for people, we're talking many years back. We're talking like 1995, 1996 was when God for the first time began to use me in this area. You know what? There were times when sometimes it would take me 3 to 4 hours to deal with one demon. You know, I would start at 7 o'clock at night. Sometimes the demon starts manifesting by 8 o'clock. Sometimes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I'm still sitting there with the same demon telling me, no, no, no. Come out, no. Release her, no. Futsak, no. If I had a parrot, the first parrot's first word would have been no. Because these things always, I was like, no, you know. And I used to battle and battle and battle, but you know what? I didn't stop. I'll never forget, there was one night, it was a family member of mine. I won't name names, but anyway. It was a family member of mine. She was going through a lot of problems and a lot of issues and stuff. And I said to her, no, come, you know, let's pray for you. And I explained to her how deliverance works. And I said to her, I think you got a demon. In fact, I said to her, I think you got a spirit of Jezebel. Oh. She wasn't very happy to hear that. But she eventually decided that, you know what, if it's not good, then it must go. And so I started praying for her, and boom, the spirit of Jezebel pops. So now I'm very chuffed because I was correct. She does have the spirit of Jezebel. But now, because it's the spirit of Jezebel, and I'm a man, you know, the spirit of Jezebel is normally found in a woman that tries to wear the pants in the house. So if we've got any woman here that likes to wear the pants in the house, please just exchange it for a dress. It's going to work much better. I'm talking spiritual, right? You can wear your pants tonight. That's fine. I'm talking spiritual and in your marriage. But she used to control her husband completely and totally. And that's how the spirit of Jezebel operates. So now, yeah, is this family member of mine. I won't name names. But this thing pops. And because I'm a man and she's Jezebel and she's better than me, she just ignores me. The demon just sits there with the nose up in the air. Like, when I talk to her, it's like, you know. It took me. Does that remind you of somebody? You! Okay, no, it's okay. You know, it took me probably 2 hours just to get the thing to acknowledge my presence in the room. Then it took me another 2 hours plus to cast it out. It was 4:30 in the morning when she suddenly jumped up off the chair, ran to the bucket and vomited. And the demon left her. And I'd been busy since 7 o'clock that night. But can I tell you something? Besides the fact that I was dead tired and frustrated, I got some authority that night. Because I earned it the hard way. I didn't earn it because somebody laid hands on me and prayed over me and blessed me with it. I earned it because I was willing to persevere and I was willing to fight. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had to do exactly the same thing. In the beginning of my ministry, it was nothing for me to spend the whole day praying for somebody, fighting physically with that demons in that person. You wonder how I stay in shape. I pray for people. You wonder why I preach with tracksuits. I pray for people. And when I start praying for them, you'll see why. But it would take hours and hours and hours to deal with these things. And you know, the people that have come a long way with this ministry, like Auntie Heather, Fatima, who else? Uncle Ed. They can testify how some nights, you know, there was a time we were in the south of Joburg. There were some nights where We were there till 4 o'clock. Ed, what was the latest we ever left there? 4:30? 5? 5 o'clock in the morning. We were busy since 7 o'clock the previous night. That's how long it took to deal with some stuff. Yeah, she's still small. She's still an idiot. But in any case, and it takes perseverance. And you know, when God sees that, He accredits that to you through authority. Slowly but surely you grow in authority. You know, somebody spoke to me 2 weeks ago and they said to me, oh, you know what? They want what I have. I said, what is it that I have? No, you know what? You just tell the demons to go and they go. I looked at him. I said, okay, let me explain to you how that works. You know, because people think that there's some magic formula to that. There's no magic formula to that. It's hard work. It's commitment. It's dedication. It's perseverance. It's taking the hard knocks and not staying down, getting back up. We get knocked every now and then. You, me, everybody. But the Bible says when we, as children of God, get knocked down, the Lord will raise us up even 7 times, which simply means that God will never stop picking us up when we get knocked down. Okay. So we need anointing. And we need to be in a ministry where the anointing and the power of God is, because anointing comes through the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not in the church that you are attending, don't expect anointing to come, because it can't come through a person. It comes through the Holy Spirit working through the person into your life. That's just the way it is. Then we need authority. And authority has to start somewhere. That means until you don't start fighting, you can't start growing in authority. And you can't just one day. I'll give you another example. I was ministering in the very far south, Funabel Park. One day I have this group of ladies attend one of my meetings. Oh, no, they love what we do, and they love this, and they love that, and wah, 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 wah. So they start talking to me, and it turns out that they all got like serious issues, but serious issues. And I start questioning them, and then it comes out that somewhere along the line, they were involved with a pastor who got them to start challenging the principalities and the powers and the rulers over that area and sorting them out. And they specifically prayed against Jezebel and Leviathan. And you know what? These are like really scary demons. And they were never ready for it. Do you know where all their problems came from? Because what they were trying to do superseded the anointing and the authority that they had. And you know, when you start challenging things up there, they have what happened when Michael and his angels fought against the dragon? The dragon fought back. If you try and take on, you know what, you got these people like what cake, you know? What you looking at? Now and then, you intimidate people with that, and now and then, that oak's just had enough, he had a bad day, and it's like, boof, there you go. Be careful who and what you challenge, because sometimes when you challenge things, they have no problem. You want to fight? Come, let's go. And what they were doing is they were challenging things up there, and they didn't have the authority to deal with them, and these things just wiped the floor with them. Sickness, infirmity, all sorts of things touched their bodies because of what they did. It's not a good thing. Don't do it. All right. Okay. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. Everybody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I want to say something to you. He is still not strong enough.
Amen.
That doesn't mean he won't fight back. That just means he can't win. Look, listen to me. I don't care what the demon is. I don't care what his situation is. He cannot win. Because he is still not strong enough. When it comes to a fight between good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, Satan is always going to lose if we honor God. I want to tell you something. If you leave the door open for the devil, don't expect him to go nowhere. God wants repentance before there can be true victory. And a lot of people don't want to repent. They don't want to change their ways. They don't want to stop the nonsense that they're up to. In that case, I'm not going to say the demon wins. God just doesn't want to sort out the demon because you're not at the place to deal with it. All right. Good. He wasn't strong enough. That great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. What is Satan's purpose? To lead the world astray. And you know how the devil wants to lead the world astray? One of his primary ways to lead the world astray is like, there is no devil. Or the devil is bound. Or the devil has no power. The devil can't touch you. And you know why he wants to do that? Because then you blame God for all your problems. Then you blame God for your sickness. You blame God for your infirmity. You blame God for your problems in your thinking. And you blame God for your financial disasters, etc., etc. When the devil is behind it. Then. Who leads the world astray. The devil likes to convince people that there is salvation through Allah. Is there?
No.
So he's leading people astray. He likes to tell people that when you sit and meditate, you can heal yourself. Can you?
No,
you can't. He likes to tell people if you have the right crystals in your house, the energy flow is going to be just cool and you're going to feel great. No, you won't. You're bringing destruction into your house. He likes to lead the world astray. All right. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Now that's where the problem starts, because where's the devil right now? In your backyard. Down here. Somewhere. And his angels or his demons with him. And that's why we are in a war, because Satan's not up there anymore. He got kicked out. Now he's down here and he's angry. He doesn't like the look of your face, but don't worry, because he doesn't like mine either. Because we remind him of who? Jesus. Then I heard a loud voice in the heavens say, in other words, now this man John is hearing God speak. God says, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Did you hear what is coming? Listen to what is coming. Because Satan has fallen, God has now made available to us the following. Listen to this. Now have come salvation. When Satan fell, God said, man will need salvation. Make a plan and make it ready for them. Then he also said, and the power. We're going to need power to stand against the devil. Is power available to you? It is available to you. What else is available to you? Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. In other words, we now have the right to become part of the kingdom of God so that we are no longer part of the kingdom of Satan. We can move out. And then he says, and the authority of his Christ. Wow. All these things are available to us. That doesn't mean that you have them. It means they're available. And you know who the people are that find them? The people that look for them. The people that say, I'm not going to rest until I find the kingdom of God. I'm not going to rest until I start receiving the power of God. The people that say, I will persevere if it takes me a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, I won't stop until I have it. Those are the people that get somewhere. And then he says, for the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been held down and they overcame him. Listen carefully. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Wow. Tonight we heard some people testify. Why is it a good thing for us to testify? Because the more we testify, the more we have victory. Don't ask me how it works. That's just the way it is. Probably when we testify, a bit of anointing touches us. Probably when we testify, we grow a bit in authority. Probably when we testify, we receive a bit more power. Can I tell you why? Because we're giving glory to God. And when you give glory to God, his face smiles upon you. And you start receiving what you need to have victory. So I want to say something to you that I've noticed in our country. People don't like to testify. I don't know why. To me, it's stupid. Because if God does something wonderful for you, I think you should share it. But we have a culture in this country where it's like, you know what? No, I don't talk about this stuff. You know, it's personal to me. No, it's not personal. It's part of the kingdom of which you are part of. And God wants you to give glory to him. Amen. You know, if God does something amazing for you and you keep quiet about it, that doesn't take away what God did, but probably it stops what would have come in the future. Maybe there wasn't just one miracle in your life, but 50. But because you don't have, how can I call it? the grapes to testify, you will only receive the one. I'm talking about spiritual grapes. Don't you go for no transplants, because that's not what I mean. And if yours have turned into raisins, I'm sure God can help you. Amen? Why are you laughing, Louis? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, okay. The raisin pot spoke to you. He's got seedless grapes. All right, this conversation is going wrong now. We just stop it right there. We stop. Okay. That's the point I wanted to make. God wants us to testify. As we testify, we grow in authority. As we testify, we grow in power. As we testify, we have more and more victory. If God does something for you, be it big or be it small, you should get to the place that you want to share that with people. Even if they break, you know, even if they're like, ah, that's rubbish. Ah, you know, that doesn't matter. You've done your part. Something in the supernatural happens to you when you testify. And we should stop with this thing of, oh, you know what, we don't want to offend people. Oh, you know what, we don't talk about religious stuff. You know, me, I come from a very Afrikaans background. And you know what, in our background, we've got the slogan, Jy praat nie kerk en politiek nie. In other words, we don't discuss church and we don't discuss politics. And you know, a lot of people believe in that. It's like, oh, they're never going to talk about this stuff. Well, you know what, that's why you're going to go nowhere in life. That's why you'll never have authority, you'll never have power, and you will never really be part of the kingdom of God. Because look at this. When you start conquering the enemy, that's it. The Bible says, if you turn your back on God and you're ashamed of him, then he will one day be ashamed of you, which is a problem if you want to go up there. Did anybody learn something today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, here's what I have on my heart. Tonight, I believe that there's a reason why God put this on my heart to share with you, because I was actually going to preach something else, and then the Lord touched my heart in this area. I believe that tonight, the Lord wants to cause the principalities and the powers and the rulers and all the rubbish, the dragon and his demons, to be hurled down in your life. And I believe God's going to help you. Because available to you is what? Authority. Available to you is power. Available to you is the kingdom of God. What else was there? Anointing. And tonight, if you trust God, I believe that you will receive it. Amen. 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 Well, bless God.